Once a small charity, now an industry player.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The housing industry has been staggering lately, and that has brought a nonprofit into the top rung. Habitat for Humanity is now one of America's top 10 home builders. First time that's happened. Marketplace's Janet Babin is with us live. Hi, Janet.
Hey, Bill.
How does Habitat for Humanity rank?
Well, it ranked 8th in Builder Magazine's top 10 list of builders, Wall Street Journal reports today. So, number 8, not too bad for a Christian nonprofit started some 30 years ago to help low-income families achieve the American dream.
And how has a charity beat out some of the biggest home builders in the country?
Well, new homes just aren't selling in this economy, right? New home sales fell 32% in May, the lowest level ever. Nicholas Retsinas is director of the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard University.
In a sense, it's very simple arithmetic. Habitat's numbers keep growing, though slightly. The larger builders' numbers keep falling, and as a result, Habitat moves up the list.
So does this, Janet, mean that Habitat for Humanity is now a major player?
Well, Habitat for Humanity certainly filled a niche that other home builders had been ignoring up until now, affordable housing. But Nick Retsinas says that's changing and that national builders are beginning to respond to that need with smaller new homes and more affordable options.
Marketplace's Janet Babin. Janet, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
This week, Dana College in Blair, Nebraska, said it will shut its doors after more than a century in business. A for-profit education company was about to buy the struggling college, but investors backed out when they learned the school would lose something very valuable, accreditation. From the Marketplace Education Desk, Amy Scott explains.
In higher education, accreditation is like a golden key. It unlocks the door to millions of dollars in federal financial aid. Kevin Kinzer teaches education policy at the State University of New York at Albany. He says for-profit companies have been buying that golden key by buying struggling schools.
If they wanted to get accreditation by starting an institution from scratch, it would take several years, and they don't want to wait that long.
Officials are cracking down on so-called accreditation shopping. This week, the Higher Learning Commission, a regional accrediting agency, refused to transfer Dana College's seal of approval to its prospective buyers. Sylvia Manning is the agency's president.
Accreditation doesn't attach to a campus or a set of buildings. It attaches to programs and practices and faculty.
For-profit companies often change those programs, shifting to online courses. Dana's closure will leave 600 or so students looking for other options. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
It's been a tough week for stocks. Let's do the numbers. While shares are mixed around the world today, investors are said to be waiting on this morning's news from the U.S. government on employment for the month of June. The overall number will probably be ugly, maybe 100,000 jobs lost. However, that includes all the temporary census jobs that went away last month. Private employers may have added as many as 100,000 jobs. Yesterday, the Dow lost 41 points, closed at 9,732.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
4th of July weekend will be a hopping time for Washington, D.C. tour guides. There is big money in showing visitors the monuments and museums. The city government just made it easier to become a tour guide, which has some of them feeling threatened. From WAMU in Washington, D.C., Rebecca Shear reports.
Carolyn Crouch has been leading tours in D.C. since 1998.
So I'm actually going to have us start and look at Heritage Trail sign number 1. Then we're going to make our way north down 4th Street.
She says applying for a license was quite the paper chase.
It was almost as document intensive as what I had to do to adopt my daughter from Vietnam.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Fellow tour guide Tim Krepp agrees.
That was a very broken Byzantine process.
Krepp says to get licensed, you had to attest to a whole slew of things.
Most notably that you're not a drunkard, or I believe the doctor had to do that.
the notarized doctor's note also had to vouch for your hearing and vision, and that you didn't have things like epilepsy and heart disease. Finally, aspiring guides had to prove they were an American citizen who can read, speak, and write English. All those requirements are gone. And nixing that last rule worries Maricar Donato, who's been guiding in D.C. nearly 30 years.
They're going to remove that law about the U.S. citizenship. That's not good because they're stealing my job.
But chances are her livelihood will be safe. Donato leads prep classes for the D.C. license exam, which tests your savvy on history, buildings, monuments.
True or false, the Washington National Zoo is one of the 19 Smithsonian museums.
True.
False.
The city still will require guides to pass that test. But Carolyn Crouch applauds D.C. for easing the other guidelines. Unlike Donato, she says the relaxed rules shouldn't hurt tour guides or tourism.
I don't think that's going to decrease the number of people who come to visit. And there's more than enough people for a big cadre of tour guides.
What's important, she says, is that those guides are excited, passionate, and, of course, knowledgeable. Which brings us to that test question about the National Zoo. It's not considered one of the 19 Smithsonian museums because, technically, it's a research center. Next time you're touring D.C., see if you can try and stump your guide with that one. In Washington, I'm Rebecca Shear for Marketplace.
And finally, here is the entire week's business news in a Marketplace Minute. We were going to pay for financial reform with a tax on the banks who created the storm. Instead, the money will come from, I swear, the bailout fund, because that seems fair. The recovery is tiring. Nobody's hiring. Something new's wrong with Toyota's wiring. Let's see. World Cup, the Americans lose. I'm trying to find some positive news. Oh, the oil spill's fixed. Nah, I'm just teasing. It's spewing like mad, and it's hurricane season. Supreme Court squashes the handgun ban. I guess that's good for a firearm fan. You know what? These headlines are leaving me flat. It's a three-day weekend. Let's focus on that. Have fun with your sparklers and Francis Scott Key, and I'll see you at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.